benefit is that we have eternal what? Eternal life. So we're going to continue to talk about empowered to live his life. remember we said that the gospel reveals that we're empowered in so many ways. We're empowered to live the life of God through the Spirit of God that is in us. We're empowered by the delegated authority that has been given to you and me through the name of Jesus Christ. Every Christian has access to all these things. There is no special person or group of people who have a corner on these things. It's available to everybody who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. The same thing I was telling them in prayer yesterday, that prayer is not an exclusive prerogative of a few or a man or a woman. Prayer is the privilege of everybody. God invites everybody to what? To pray. So the same thing, the privileges we are talking about in the gospel is what everybody who believes in Jesus has and can enjoy. And so this delegated authority is for all of us, that is given to us in the name of Jesus Christ. Then there is the empowerment by the Spirit of God that comes upon us in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, empowered to preach the gospel. That's empowerment by the Spirit of God that comes on you to manifest the gifts of the Holy Spirit. There's empowerment as a corporate body because Jesus lives in us. There's empowerment as a church that we're empowered to carry out certain aspects of the work of the kingdom and extend it, and which we do, supporting missions and doing a couple of things, sending people to in their offices, empowering you to become what you should be in the family of God. And there's this empowerment by what God has endowed us with, the money you have, the privileges you have, the things that God has given you, the talent God has given you. It's empowering you to use it for the benefit of all. Amen? But this evening, we're still going to continue on empowerment to live the life of God. What did I say? The life of God. Galatians 5:25. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. I'm reading New Living Translation. Let us not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another. Since we are living by what? The Spirit. Galatians 5:26. 25. First. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us do what? Follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. And verse 26 is a very important one. Let us not become what? Conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another. Those of you who are sticklers for King James Version, what is conceited? Do you read Bible? You don't find the meaning. Conceited. It's proud. It's saying, I want you to see the connection between verse 25 and verse 26. It's saying, since we live by the power of the Spirit, since we live by the power of the Spirit, and we should follow the guidance of the Spirit, so you cannot have a false opinion of your ability and capability to disregard this thing. That you are, it is the power of the Spirit that you are living by. Don't be conceited. Don't think, don't have exaggerated impression or opinion about your capability and ability to think, I can live this life. That's what he's saying. Since we are doing this and doing this, let us not be conceited. Don't have an exaggerated impression and saying, I'm so good, I'm so wonderful, I've been a Christian for a long time, I know what I'm doing. Say, no, don't do that. Since you are living by the power of the Holy Spirit and you have to follow the guidance of the Holy Spirit, don't think you are anything so important, so powerful, so anointed, so whatever, that you can handle life by yourself. That's what he's saying. Don't have that. The conceit is an exaggerated impression of yourself. Conceit is excessive opinion about how important you are, about what you can do, about how good you are. That's conceit. And if you are not careful, the devil will push you into conceit. And then you think that the grace of God is below your dignity. Are you following what I'm saying? So he's saying, since we are living by the power of the Holy Spirit, and we are supposed to follow the guidance of the Holy Spirit, don't now have a false impression of yourself that you have the capability or ability to live this life. Because you don't have it. You are living by the power of what? The Holy Spirit and his what? Guidance. So don't think you have the wisdom to handle it, to live this life. That's what he's warning. So now, being empowered from that scripture, now we can see that the Spirit of God is really pointing us to complete dependence on the Holy Spirit for empowerment and for guidance. Amen. Now, the thing that happens in the body of Christ, and it's really a major issue, is that a lot of Christians do not study the Bible. Many Christians don't study the Bible, so they don't know the truth. They don't know much of the truth. A lot of Christians go to church and go home, and they don't understand what the Bible is talking about. And they think we can live without this truth. So there isn't really that commitment to know the truth that is serious. They think I can get by. You know, it's Bible study. It's what we do. The sermon is what we preach. So have they preached the sermon? Yeah, I take the grace. Let us go. And so there is no commitment to knowing the Word of God. Reading Bible is not a religious duty. It's a necessity. Just like eating food is not a duty. Eating food is a what? It's a necessity. If you don't, you die. Knowing the Word of God is a necessity. It's not what you do because you're a Christian. You do it. I've always warned, don't get by this quiet time mentality thing. Otherwise, it becomes a routine for you. And anything that's routine is useless. Spiritually useless. There's no life in it. It produces nothing. So we must make effort to understand the scriptures. The scriptures is so critical in your living a successful Christian life. The scriptures is something you cannot do without. And knowing it is so important. Understanding it is so fundamental. It's not something you toy with. Your life depends on it. As a matter of fact, the challenge of life that comes, there's always a truth if you know you overcome it. If you don't know that, you'll be struggling with it. So that's why our team this year is working in the truth. Knowing the scripture, brethren. I'm not saying quoting it. You can preach it and quote it, don't even know what it's talking about. Having a revelation of the scripture is so critical. It's so important. Understanding the gospel, you must not toy with it. You must pray and seek God to reveal Christ to you. It's important that the truth is revealed to you. You can't live a Christian life in ignorance. Ignorance makes you vulnerable. Ignorance exposes you to false doctrines of the last days. Ignorance makes you a mincemeat to the devil. Ignorance will make you lose important battles in life. Ignorance can send you to hell. You can live in the midst of plenty and live and have nothing because of ignorance. And actually, every Christian lives in the midst of plenty. Because we live in the kingdom of God. So we can't afford it. I'm telling you. A lot of Christians come to church and go troop out and troop in, troop out. And so many churches troop out and troop in. You know, next to nothing. Next to nothing. Second Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto what? God. Study. It's important, brethren, that we listen to the Bible. Don't joke with the Bible. I'm begging us. Please, please, please. This is God speaking. He says to me and says to you, study to show thyself what? Approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of God. This instruction is important. He said, go and study so that you are proved, so that you don't be ashamed, you don't lose battles. You're not ashamed, you are not defeated. You live in glory. He said, you must rightly divide the word of God. You must have the right interpretation of the word of God. Let me repeat it again. For every challenge in life, there's a truth that deals with it. Every challenge has a truth. If you know it, boom, the thing is solved. So we must be people who are given to Scripture. Peter said, we give ourselves to the ministry of the word. We must be given to Scripture. You must be given. It is not something that's optional. Brethren, I'm begging you. You live by this word. God said so, that the Christian must live by every word that proceeded from where? Don't you toy with the Bible. Don't, please. So you must give yourself and make up your mind that the Bible should guide you, be your guiding principle in life. That's number one. Number two, you must have a proper interpretation. And how do you have a proper interpretation of Scripture? Understand, first of all, that you can't interpret Scripture with your wisdom. You can't interpret Scripture with your understanding. Nobody can, not a pastor, nobody can, nobody. So you don't do that. Because the Bible says, lean not unto your own. Don't interpret Scripture with denominational doctrines. Don't do that. Don't say, yeah, is in our day. Who are the day? It's a bishop. Who is bishop? The Bible says, don't raise any man above that which is written. You must not interpret Scripture by your own understanding. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, said, the words I speak are not my own. I don't have the luxury of interjecting my opinion into this thing. I don't. I can't. I don't have my word in this thing. I don't have my opinion in this thing. I don't give it my own interpretation. See, as the Father gives me, so I speak it and leave it like that. The Son of God, he says, the words you hear me speak, they are not my own. Quick means it's not my own understanding. I don't interject myself into it. When you interject your ideas into Scripture, believe you me, you are doing yourself such harm. Because what you are going to believe is a false thing. And the devil loves lying. He works with it. Amen. I said amen. Amen. Do you know, brethren, that for years I had believed that God was teaching me things through suffering and poverty? For years I did. Until came to this country. I was in Nigeria somewhere. The Lord said to me, he said, that thing you believe is not true. It's not Bible. I said, really? He said, yeah. He said, the reason you suffered in Nigeria was your ignorance. He said, will you train your children with poverty? I said, no. He said, so what are you talking about? He said, will you train your own children with what? Poverty. Who among us will do that? He said, my son, I'm going to train you. And the way to train you is to keep you poor. You won't get a job. You won't prosper. That will make you good. The Lord said to me, he said, you believe the lie for years. And he reminded me that the devils were mocking me. And that's true. He said, I gave you opportunity to see what was happening. You saw that spirit wearing rag. They were laughing at you because you were like a rag. I got no glory out of your life. He said, the dead spirit. And true, I saw that demon was wearing rag and laughing at me. Can you imagine that? And the Lord said, they were mocking you and saying, you are a rag. And then in that vision, I got so angry that I took a chair and threw it at that spirit. Immediately I threw the chair, it was right by me. Immediately I threw that chair, I didn't know how happened, it was right by me, laughing in my face. Still, I didn't understand what God was showing me, that they are laughing at you because of your anger. Then suddenly, I lifted up my hand and somebody, I don't know it today, how it happened, put a sword in my hand. I pierced it in. started, I carried the tweet away. And then the Lord said to me, I was teaching you my word is the solution, is the sword. You didn't have the sword. You didn't have my word. They kept you poor and your family suffered. One of my children suffered kwashoko, and I was glorying and said, God is really teaching us humility. And God said, you didn't have my word. You didn't have the sword. You didn't have it. I'm begging you, people. I'm begging you. It's for your own good, though. It's not cheating. It's not looking. Look, this race, everybody's running his own. It's for your own good. Interpreting the scripture, you can't give it your private interpretation. The things about God is beyond human understanding. So don't apply human understanding. The devil will come and help you out and mess your life up. Mess it up for good. So, what do you do? Look at 2 Peter 1:20. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. No prophecy. No prophecy. 2 Peter 1:20. You put 2 Peter 1:1. I said 1:20. Knowing this first, you must know it first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private what? Interpretation. You can't, because the scripture is beyond human understanding, just like the eternal life is beyond human understanding also, because the love of God is beyond human understanding. So you don't understand it, how can you live it by your power? How can you live what you don't understand to start with? So you can't give the scripture your own interpretation. And all this, I had a vision. Look, every vision that does not tally with scripture, throw it away. You don't need it. Because if it's the Holy Spirit, he will speak in line with what? The Bible. So if it's not of any private interpretation, how do I get the interpretation then? Now, listen to this. You cannot take one verse of the Bible and run with it. Because one verse doesn't give you the whole context. You must have scripture in context. You know, sometimes when somebody wants to justify some things, they will pick one scripture and make it say what they want it to say. Have you heard it before? Yeah. I'm the head of this group, for instance. Then he becomes a what? A Hannibal. And anything you say, I'm the head of this group. The Bible says so. No, the Bible didn't say it the way you are saying it. Because if you go in context, you will see that headship in the kingdom is not lordship. It's not lordship. Headship in the kingdom is servant. So you can take it and make it say what you want it to say. And then maltreat your wife, maltreat your children, maltreat your neighbors, and then all of a sudden you are Taliban. Christian Taliban. I don't know if you get my point. So it's not talking about, you can take that scripture and make it do anything. People use one scripture and make it do anything they want. And again, at the end of it, you are deceiving yourself. It won't profit you anything because it's not the truth. So you have to get scripture in context. You have to have scripture in what? In full context. So people take this head tie and say, you see, the Bible says a woman should cover her hair, and then they go all over the place persecuting women. Well, they don't try it here, because if you do it here, they will sue you. But you know, that's not really what he's saying. If you read it in context, you find that he's talking about the authority of the man over the woman, the wife, so that the wife should cover her hair to honor the head, who is the husband. Because that was the culture then. But today, what honors me, if my wife ties her tie, I'm going to remove it myself. Because that doesn't honor me. I want her to do her hair and look good for me and pour oil on it. These young people that married yesterday. Once you talk of wife, they get excited. Are you following what I'm saying? You can't take one scripture and run. No, no. You know what the Lord asked me about this? There was a day I mentioned that I got home. The Lord said to me, which part of that is walking in love? I said, none. He said, they take it, harass people. And the Bible said, no matter what you do, if you don't walk in love, you are still. He said, which part of that is walking in love? Answer me. Which part of it? And yet, this is what they used to harass people who come to church. They won't let them sit down. They didn't come to you, they came to Jesus. But now you have become Holy Spirit. Even if they are wrong, why don't you allow them to sit down and learn now and give them time? No. In this church, we don't. And all the Pharisees will take you aside and do what they've been doing. Teachers of the law. Amen. I said amen. When you go home, read that place. It's talking about the man. It's talking about man and woman. He said, however, a man is not without the woman. The woman is not. Go ahead and read it. See what it's talking about? It's talking about authority. Because the Corinthian church was totally in disarray. Totally confusion. And Paul was trying to bring, even when they prophesy, there will be a fight. One will rise up and say, God spoke to me. The other one say, no, God spoke to me. I'm going to be the first to prophesy. Paul said to them, do everything what? He said, when you come together, everybody has a psalm, everybody has this confusion. Okay, you don't want, women must tie head there. Did you not read where Paul wrote that women must not talk in church? They should go and ask their husband. Is he not there? Why are we not doing it? I do it too now. He said, if you have understanding, you must know that it is Christ that is speaking this thing. Go ahead. He said, this is not Paul. He said, women should not talk in church. They should keep quiet. If they have any question, when they go home. You see, he was just trying to resolve this issue of family authority. Still trying to resolve it. In this church, women can talk. And they should serve. Amen? Because in Christ, there is neither male. Yes. If you are gifted by the grace of God, we'll give you opportunity. Use your gifting to the glory of God. So if we say don't tie head tie, then we'll also stay women not to what? Talk. You can't take one and leave the other. All the Pharisees. One day I will talk about Pharisee Christians. So we must understand that scripture is interpreted with scripture. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 13, I don't even know why I'm dwelling on this too long. 2 Corinthians 13. This is the third time I'm coming to you. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be what? So you can't take one. You have to have two or three scriptures that gives you the context that the scripture is what? Talking about. Do you get what I'm saying? Now you must understand that until your mind is renewed, your life will not be transformed. You don't get transformed by determination. Because you see, all the issues of life come from where? Your heart. So if your heart is not transformed, if your heart is not renewed with the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the truth of the word of God, you'll be carnal. You'll be judging things from carnal point of view, you'll be acting carnally. You can be zealous. Zeal is not a transformed life. But when your life is transformed, you will be zealous. You can be very zealous, but not according to what? Knowledge. Can be zealous. So you can be so zealous that when they come, you take that side in the church. We don't do the zeal that has no knowledge at all. Do you know that Mahatma Gandhi, India would have been a Christian nation from what I read. The reason India became a Hindu nation. Mahatma Gandhi went to church. They did not let him in because he was not a white man. In South Africa. And he read the Bible. He said, this Jesus is something. Awesome. He went to church. They drove him out. So he ran. He became a Hindu. And how many millions of people became Hindu? Because the church closed their door their door to one person. And they're still doing it today. Close their door to somebody. Say, I'm not worried. We're tired. Leave him alone. Do you know whether tomorrow is the evangelist God will use? Leave the person alone. Let him come as he is. Come as you are. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said to everybody, come unto me, all ye that what? Come, everybody should come. You can't drive people away from Jesus. That craziness. He died for everybody. Sinners, oh, come. Everybody come. It's a throng of sinners that follow Jesus. Then he transformed them into saints. Can I hear amen? We have to give people time. If Mahatma Gandhi was allowed, can you imagine what India would be today? See what Pharisees do. Once you are not, you don't meet their kind of, they count you out, okay, sinner, you should be talked to again. And what part of it is love of Jesus? And yet the Bible says if you don't love, you are nothing. So scripture is interpreted with scripture. And then we're talking about, understand that if your mind is not renewed with the truth of the word, with the gospel, I can't stop talking about the gospel. I thought I knew the gospel until I realized I didn't know the gospel too well. The more I study the gospel, the more I'm amazed, like Paul, at the knowledge of Christ. The more I realize why Paul was saying that there's nothing to compare with the excellency of the knowledge of who? Jesus. You must discover it yourself. You must come to a point where you are saying, wow, whoa, this is amazing. Yes, it's an amazing Christ we have. And so it's not something you say, I'm going to change. How many times have you determined to change? Did you change? Is it not dead end? Transformation is from within. I can't say it enough. It's not from outside. Jesus said, first cleanse what? And then he said, make the tree good first. Then the fruit will be good. Praise the Lord. So we need to give ourselves to scripture so that our mind is transformed. We need to knowing Jesus. Understanding the gospel is so critical. We live by the gospel until we see Jesus face to face. The gospel is so relevant to every Christian, every minute of his life. Every time the gospel is so important. So important. And so let's go back to our text, Galatians 5:25-26. We read it at the beginning. It told us we live by the power of the Holy Spirit. So we live by the power that the Holy Spirit supplies. This power enables us to act along the line of the life in us and to resist anything that's not part of that life. This power of the Holy Spirit enables us to live this life that we have. Number two, it says we live by the guidance, daily guidance of the Holy Spirit. And the easiest guidance the Holy Spirit will give you, can somebody tell me? The easiest guidance you have. The easiest guidance the Spirit of God will give you. Guidance of the Holy Spirit. Which one is the easiest? Which everybody has all the time? Thy word is what? Thy word is Thy word is what? Thy word is lamp unto my what? And what is it again? Light unto my what? Path. So the guidance every Christian has easily is the Bible. Is the Bible. If you are waiting to hear a voice, stop. I've told you here, stop looking for voices. Please. And stop doing, if I go to bed, I must dream this night. The demons will help you out. Stop all that kind of stuff. Just look, live your life and then let God communicate to you the way he wants. Some people through dreams, he does. Some others, no. So the word of God is the easiest way through which the Spirit of God guides us. Because it's the lamp unto our feet and light that shows the path we follow. If we follow the word of God, we are following the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Can I hear amen? Then, or we should also not have exaggerated opinion of our capability and ability. So we learn to keep trusting the Spirit of our Lord Jesus Christ. And all of this is through Faith. One of the things that the Bible teaches us is that I'm not what I used to be. Can I say? Can we say that together? I can't hear you well. I can't hear you well. I can't hear you well. Say it loud again. Now talk to yourself. Say it again. I'm not what I... Say it one more time. This must be clear to you. You must believe it. The starting point of transformation is your mind must be renewed to understand what Christ has done already, 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 already. If any man is in Christ, he is a what? It is not a joking statement. It wasn't written there to make church. That is a reality. It's a reality. It's not what you wrote in the Bible so that you say, ha, ha, praise the Lord. You know, Jesus of Nazareth, we sing a lot of songs we don't believe. We say a lot of flowery, beautiful. Words are cheap. Words are what? We say a lot of flowery, beautiful things we don't even understand, we don't believe. One time the Lord said to me, he said, you know, if you people believe what you sing in your church, he said, you see incredible move of my spirit. He said, they enjoy the music most of the time. When the scripture says that if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation, brethren, that is solid truth. The Christian must know it, believe it, and become something that guides your belief system every day of your life. If you begin to believe that you're a new creature, you see the thing begin to work out in your life. But we don't live in the consciousness of the cross. We don't live in the consciousness of what have been achieved on the cross. We want to produce it by ourselves, trying to be good. You know, I want to please the Lord. Please the Lord. Please the Lord. Please the Lord. Okay, God says, without faith you can't. Please. So you go back and start believing what the scripture says. Praise the Lord. So where we start to live this Christian life is we must not set aside. Remember what we read in Galatians 5, 25, 26. It says in 26, it said, we should not be conceited, which means we should not have exaggerated opinion of our ability to do something. Since we are being empowered by the Holy Spirit, being guided by the Holy Spirit, let us not be conceited. Conceited. King James people, amen? Amen. If you don't say amen, I'm not reading your King James again. Let us not be what? Conceited. It don't have exaggerated opinion of how good you are, how special you are, and your ability to live good. See, that's exaggerated opinion of yourself. And like we said before, understand first of all, that the life of God is beyond human understanding. Let alone within human ability. The love of God passes human understanding. So if it passes my understanding, how can it be within my ability again? It's a very simple thing to understand. Praise the Lord, somebody. So we must know that when we came to Christ, that you are not who you used to be. Romans 6, 6. Let's read New Living Translation. These King James people are no more cooperating with us. Romans 6, 6. We know. Brethren, we know. What do we know? And question is, do you also know? Romans 6, 6. We know. What do we know? I didn't say King James Version. I said New Living Translation. Okay. We know. What do we know? That our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ. What was Paul saying? Each time Paul would talk, he would start from here. He said, I was crucified with Christ. Every time the man would talk, he would go to the cross and said, you know, it was at that cross that I was crucified to the world. And the world was what? Crucified to me. He said, you know, in that cross, something happened to me. Every time this man would give testimony, watch Paul who focus on Christ. The Bible said, don't be conceited now. Don't think you can change your life, no. Can a leper change his skin? No. Paul will always point to the cross and say, you know what happened there? That was where I was changed. He said, we used to look at people from outside. We don't do that what? Because we have found that if any man is what? Christ. He is what? Old things have. All your old habits are gone. They can't be gone until your mind accepts this. And then your life is transformed. I'm talking to you from my experience. From my experience. What I saw. That this is true. You know, when you listen, oh man, when the Spirit of God, when you begin to yield to Scripture, God will expose you to uncommon wisdom. I'm not kidding you. Your approach to life will be totally classy. Look, when the Spirit of God begins to walk through you, you will respect God more. You will know that this is not, no, I don't have a wisdom for it. What? Especially when God begins to reveal to you the glory of making yourself nothing. The things we don't count glory, they are very, very glorious. Because we find glory in winning an argument. That is carnal mindedness. You have seen no glory until you see the glory of Christ that made himself of no reputation. Amazing. That's what God wants. I mean, that. So we know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ. So that sin might lose what? Its power in our lives. One of my children asked me one time, he said, Daddy, why do preachers preach to Christians like sinners? They were young. He said, why do they talk to Christians like they're still sinners? Is there nothing to tell them there are no more sinners? Most sermons you hear, you think you're a sinner. Because we walk by sight. Because they don't walk by sight. Walk by faith. Walk by the word. So that sin will lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. And since we died with Christ, we know we will also live with him. We are sure. Wow. Look at the word the man is using. We know. And we are sure. Brethren, you should know. And you should know. And then you should be sure. Sin doesn't have control over your life. And stop fearing those things. Any word of God that makes you think that sin is controlling you is not telling you the truth. The truth is Jesus has set you free. And set you free completely. The devil wants to convince you that you are not set free. That you are bound. Let me tell you something. A Christian can walk out of any bondage anytime he wants. Anytime you want, you can stand up and declare that I'm free of this thing in the name of Jesus. I'm free. The scripture says I'm free, and then you are free. Because your faith will activate the thing. Oh. Somebody told the story how he became a slave to Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola. It's not Coca-Cola, Coca-Cola. You know, Coca-Cola is made by Coca-Cola. Are you confused? No, Coke, C-O-K-E. It's made by Coca. He said he was so addicted that he won't pass by without having not just one. Then that's his return and he'll have another one. Then, you know, sugar can be addictive. Then he said he stood up one day and said, wait a minute, Paul said something. I can't be brought under the power of any. Brethren, it is the privilege of a Christian to say, I cannot be brought under the power of what? Any. It's your privilege in Christ. It's your privilege in Christ. It is your privilege you enjoy to stand firm in the liberty where which Christ has what? Set you free. It's your privilege. Brethren, isn't it the thrill of your life to see demons run, flee from you? The wonderful thing. The man said, wait a minute. He said, Coke, even Coke. He said, from now on, I will not drink any more Coke in the name of Jesus. You can bind me. 40 years passed, he hasn't taken one. You know, I used to smoke. Don't tell my children. I used to, before I got married. You knew me very well. He knew me very well. He said, the reason I came to your church is I saw your life change because I used to know you. I said, even my father says, so. I used to smoke, my hand brown. And I went to marry my wife and she said, I don't like smoking. I said, I stop. Just because of love, wanting to, I stop. I'm not kidding. She's here now. She said, I don't like smoking. I said, smoking will stop me marrying my wife. I said, there are no more. I'm done. Never smoke from that day to today. And if I could do that as a heathen, that would tell you the incredible ability God has put in mankind. I've said it here. I said, if people can go to the moon exploiting just the natural creation God gave them, natural creation God gave them, how about when we'll exploit the spiritual dimension? Why don't we exploit the spiritual dimension and live above that? The spiritual dimension, brethren, is that we've been made new creatures. And sin has lost its power over us. For Jesus is my head, not the devil, and not sin. Can I hear amen? I didn't hear a big amen. Amen. So that's where living this life of Christ starts, the cross. That's why you were crucified. And that should be your testimony all the time. To be your testimony all the time. I remember one doctor told us how he went to somewhere and one prostitute came to him trying to solicit him. And then the doctor said, the man you are looking at is dead. And the woman said, dead? He said, yeah. So the woman tiptoed and took off. Because he thought, this is a spirit. He said that the man you are looking at is what? Dead. You heard the story now, honey. He said the woman went backwards. And when she put enough distance, she turned and I'm sure she would tell them, I met a spirit today. This our business is risky. I ran into a spirit. This one told me he was a dead human being. But the man made a good statement. He said, I'm dead to the world. And the world is dead without a meeting point. Praise the Lord. We are saved by his life too. Saved by his life. Saved by his life. Saved by his life. Romans 5:10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more now. Brethren, can we say much more? Much more. Being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. What is he talking about? He's talking about Christ that is alive in you, is working in you to keep you free from doing stupid things too. Because our knowledge and understanding is not perfect yet. Paul was writing about that in 1 Corinthians 13. He was talking about we're limited in knowledge. We see in short now. He said the revelation that is coming, when it comes, when we shall see everything the way it is, that what we know now is like a child's play compared with what is coming. Praise the Lord. So because of those limitations, we still do stupid things. Like I was saying on Sunday, that it's a growth process. All this is I'm teaching. It's a growth process. Your mind can't wrap around about it in 1 second. You need to study. You need to meditate. You need to go through this. The more you go, the more you are grounded. The more you are grounded, the more your life is. Change. Praise the Lord. So, the Spirit of Christ is alive in us, working. Philippians 2:13. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do his good pleasure. So we are saved by his life that is in us. We are saved by his death. We are still saved by his life means keeping us free of getting into things that we shouldn't get into. Because we have not really perfected in our knowledge, perfected our faith, perfected our understanding. There is still a lot to learn. Can I hear amen? In fact, we'll be learning till we see him face to face. Granting that some people are poor students because they are not studying, they are not doing their homework. So it is Christ in us doing this. And he gave us this illustration that he said, I am the vine and you are the what? Branch. Which means I'm the source of this life. Like I said on Sunday, the life we're living as a Christian is not sourced from you. You are not the source of it. Jesus is the source of it. So he says, I'm the vine. You are just branches. So, and the life comes from the vine to the branch and produces the fruit. The thing that produces mango is inside the mango. If you cut that branch off, the branch can do nothing of its own. You see this light we have here? You see the bulb here has no electricity. The bulb is reflecting power that came from sun. We are like bulb. We've been made to flourish. Okay, you don't understand that word, so let me change it. I'm not sure my wife understands it. We've been made to flourish, not flourish. Flourish. It's you, Mutu, they don't know it. Flourish. To flourish is to have effervescence. Now, is it effervescence? No. Ah, you see now. I said, it's to have fluorescence. To be incandescent. Incandescent, right? Whoa, this is... Hey, my wife should pay you. Have you seen your husband? Grandma, I said, I'm not this small. Incandescence. The material, if it's not incandescent, if you send the power... You see, what God did was that he took out the one that couldn't produce the light, the old man, and put the one that was created in his own image. Put that one, that spirit right there. And then sense the power to it, and the light comes. Wow. That's what he did. He said, this old man is corrupt in sin and trespasses. He can't produce this light. So he cut it off. The Bible says he did it with surgery, spiritual surgery, not made with human hand. So he made you a new creature. See why you should believe that? So he comes, and Christ is now living in you. He said, if we are joined to Christ. So the source of the light of the world is in us. So he lightens up every man that cometh into the world. So he sends this thing through our spirit, and then the thing shines outside. You don't have to act it. You don't have to pretend. You are not the source of it. You only have to yield to it. Can I hear amen? Amen. And yielding to it is not what you do overnight. You still learn every day to yield to it. And the light will be shining through you. Amen? Amen? So that's what Jesus is saying. He said, you are like the branches. This life is coming from me. It's not coming from you. You don't even understand it, not to talk of living it. You know, I was studying love. I said to myself, I don't want to tell people how I scored. If you know how I scored, you'll be praying for me, all of you. I said, wow. Wow. Man, this is, somebody has to carry his book and do more homework. I mean, the love of God's brethren, it's, no human being can do it. It is beyond our capacity to be honest with you, no human being can. Do we even understand it? Didn't the Bible say the love of God passes what? Yes, I mean, if it passes my understanding, where do I get the capability to do what passes my understanding? It has to be only him who can do it, who will perform it to me. Praise the Lord. So the Bible says it is lived by faith. It is lived what? By faith. Galatians 5:22 tells us what the Spirit is producing. Is producing through us. Galatians 5:22. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our life. The light that shines from the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace. Somebody say amen. Amen. I said peace. You're shaking your head. Peace. Yeah. Yeah. Let some things happen. Let's see how much peace is left. Peace. Patience. You know, we can be patient if there is a selfish motivation. Ah, you can be patient if somebody is owing you and saying, wait for me. Let me get the money. You are going nowhere. No. Once you are selfishly motivated, you can be patient. But that patience is not out of love. You can be patient now. Say, let me endure this marriage. Only God knows. God, Jesus, you see me. I'm enduring love. I don't know the devil you gave me, but I'm enduring. You know, we fool ourselves with all this religious talk we do because we don't, we lack understanding. Patience is also kind. What? Kindness. So while you're patient, you should also be what? Kind. How can kind person, a person who is kind, saying, God, you know, the devil you gave me? I don't think that is kindness. Because the Bible says, what things ever are pure are the things we should think about. Is that pure? I'm asking. It's not pure now. It might be true, but is it pure? You see how without God we can't do this thing? We can't be consistent. So he's saying, you removed it. Patience, kindness, goodness, and what? Faithfulness. You know, King James said faith. No, it's not faith. It's not faith. Because faith is the means through which you produce all of them. It's not faith. You can't take faith and say it's faith. No. It is by faith in Christ, by faith in the working of Jesus, that all of these fruits are what? Produced. You can't, so it has to be faithfulness. I really agree that it's faithfulness. Because all of us should have faith through which all these things are produced. Amen? Now, look at Paul again. Look at Paul, Galatians 2:20. My old self has been crucified with Christ. You see his testimony again. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. You see how he's packaging all these things to himself? He said, I've been crucified with Christ. Yes, I'm a new creature. He said, I don't live anymore. Christ is the one living in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not treat the grace of God as meaningless. You see, the Bible says, don't be conceited. Don't think that the grace of God is below your dignity. I've been a Christian a long time. What are you talking about? Somebody asked a question. He said, what are you talking about grace? Eh? I've been a Christian longest time. When we were preaching the gospel in the north, who kept me? I didn't do anything. Who kept me? You're talking of grace now. You know what he's saying? The grace of God is below my dignity. You don't know what I've achieved. Such a person is in a serious, serious, spiritual, sorry state. Totally ignorant. The Christ he was preaching doesn't know. I'm not kidding you. I'm not joking. This is disaster. Because he's cut off from Christ without knowing it. Once you're cut off from grace, Christ will profit you what? I don't know the state of such a human being. Because you reject the grace of God, you reject the Christ of grace. It's closed. There's no two ways about it. And you can't reign. Because I don't want to go into that. So you see the testimony of Paul. I do not treat the grace of God as meaningless. I don't treat it as, let us not treat the work of grace as what? Meaningless. Amen? Now, the other thing that I want to show us, my time. The other thing I want to show us is that the power of the Spirit of God in us it stops the cravings of the flesh. It stops it. Not only does it give you the life to live, it's also what checkmates your flesh. It kills the one to die. Look at the scripture now. Romans 8:10. And Christ lives within you. So even though your body will die because of sin, what it means your body will die because of sin is that your body, because it's sinful, doesn't have the Spirit of God in it. Doesn't have fellowship with the Spirit of God. Because right now it's not dead now. Amen? Even though your body will die because of sin, it will finally die. That's true. The Spirit gives you life because you have been made right with God. Because you've been made what? Look up here. Let me say something because my time is always gone. Please listen to me. Don't write anything. The reason you enjoy the benefits of God's kingdom is because of the righteousness that Christ gave you. It is Christ that gave us right standing before God to come. If you reject that right standing that Christ gave you, you don't have another one. You will cut off yourself from the blessings of God. And that's what where a lot of Christians are. I'm not kidding you. The reason that you get anything from God is because Jesus gave you right standing before God. That's his righteousness he gave you to come. That's the reason. If you reject that which he gave you, you have another one. That's not it. Doesn't, you don't have another one. And if you don't come through the righteousness of Christ, you are cut off from divine blessing. A lot of Christians are hitting their head against the wall because they don't understand the place of righteousness in their relationship with God. They pay lip service to Jesus and don't really yield in humility that he's our all. And the only way, they think that God doesn't mean it when he gave Jesus to die for us, that we can circumvent him. So in our, at the back of our mind, even though we're saying in Jesus' name, but at the back of our mind, we are presenting to God our own. Come on, church, talk to me. I'm trying to help us. Present to God our own what? Do you get what I'm saying? Because we think, so after serving God all this while, this is happening to me. You see, the reason shouldn't happen because I have what? Served. Present our righteousness. And everything that happens, we go to God, talk to him like a classmate. Say, God, why is this thing happening to me? Eh? Why is, and you are here, it's happening to me. Oh my God. What is the honor due him? First of all, it's not responsible for what happens to you. You are the one living your own life. So the Bible says in Romans 5:17 that we reign in life because we have received the gift of what? Righteousness. It says that's the reason you reign. That's the reason you reign. That's the reason you reign. Because Christ has given you right standing before God so that you can enjoy the authority that God has bestowed on him. Is everybody in agreement here? Can I hear amen? And verse, it says in Romans 8:10, and Christ lives within you. So even though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life. The Spirit gives you life because you have been made right with God. That's the reason you receive this life, because of the righteousness that Christ has what? Given us. You'll be made right with God. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, and just as God raised Jesus, raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give your give life to your mortal bodies by this same Spirit living in you. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, therefore means because of this. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. For if you live by its dictates, you will die. What he's talking about is that the power of God, I used to think that this was only for healing until my eyes opened and I found out, wait a minute. No, it's not just for healing alone. Because he says, let me finish it, verse 13. For if you live by the dictates, by its dictates, you will die. But if through the power of the Spirit, through the power of what? The Spirit, you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, then you will live. So what he's talking about, the power of God in you, the power of the Holy Spirit in you, can checkmate your flesh, can stop it, and kill that desire. The desire will die. Have you experienced it? Yes. I read about one woman who came to one of these preachers, I forgot his name, and he said, I want to be a Christian, but I dance a lot, I go to parties. And I don't know the man, that's a popular preacher. I said to him, no, you don't have to stop going to party. You can party if you want, but come to Christ. Just come. He said, you mean I can go? Yeah, you can go up to party if you want. Come. So the girl came, gave her life to Christ. 2 weeks after, I went back to the preacher. He said, the desire for party is gone. I don't have any more because she's now a new creature. All things have what? And the Spirit of God working in her deadens these things. Church, by faith, if you believe these things, you will see the reality of it. Jesus said, only, and then you will see it. You know? And then the Bible said, don't make provision for the flesh. I used to think, read the scripture and talk of what we do. But I realize now that the greatest way to make provision to the flesh is to stop the Holy Spirit working in your life. That's the greatest way to make provision for the flesh, is to quench the Spirit of God. Because once you quench the Holy Spirit, the flesh has freedom. Look at the scripture now. Galatians 5:2. I will stop with this. Galatians 5:2. Listen, I, Paul, tell you this. If you are counting on circumcision to make you right with God, then Christ will be of no effect to you. Continue, please. I will say it again. If you are trying to find favor with God by being circumcised, you can remove circumcised or by whatever, you must obey every regulation in the whole law of Moses. Hello. Let's continue. For if you are trying to make yourself right with God by keeping the law, you have been cut off from Christ. You have fallen away from God's grace. Brethren, when you put yourself in this situation where you are cut off from Christ, cut off from grace, the flesh has you where it wants you. Because the very power that will checkmate it, you cut it off because you want to push Christ off and show yourself righteousness. And the scripture says, because we live by, since we live by the Spirit, let us follow the guidance of the Spirit. It says, therefore, don't be conceited. Don't have an exaggerated impression that you can handle life. Now you have it. Now you have it. Now you have it. Now, when you cut off Christ, when you are cut off from Christ, it's of no effect to me, for instance, cut off from his grace. I want you to tell me what will check my flesh. By what power? And yet, by the power of the Spirit, I should put to death the cravings of the flesh. But now, the same power I have simply cut off. That is the number one way to make room for the flesh. Make provision for it. You allow it to run amok and run riot. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. You know, I've had situations in my life by God's grace that things would have made me angry. I found myself doing the opposite. Instead of anger, I'm just having fun. And I'm asking myself, wow, this is not me, but Christ that lives. You know, like Paul said, Christ is being formed. It's being formed. And they are not the one forming it. It's the Holy Spirit that forms you as you behold him, as you study about Jesus, like we started. I am begging us, make the knowledge of Christ your goal in life. You will see wonders. Man, you will see. You believe him, you come to a point and you say, what? The excellency of knowing Christ, nothing compares with. It will lift your life without effort and give you the kind of understanding and revelation that will blow your mind. People you deal with, when you deal with them, they'll be wondering where you got your wisdom. But the knowledge of Christ is the wisdom that is the principal thing. Praise the Lord. Did you get what I was teaching? Can I have 10 minutes of your time? Please, can I have 10 minutes? I want us to rise up. Can I have somebody on the organ, please? I want us to take time and thank. Okay. I want us to thank God for making you a new creature.
You have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Foursquare Church family. Please visit http://store.ftlw.org, where you can listen to other teachings freely, or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks and remain blessed.